So just to finish out on that, I'd like to hear about your 68-year-old man who actually got venetoclax. Can you talk a little bit about him?
Yeah, so this is a 68-year-old gentleman. He has a history of a Hodgkin's, is in remission, but now has a secondary leukemia, and it has actually these monosomy 7, so that's the typical secondary leukemia after alkylating agents and things like that. The Hodgkin's is in remission, and the molecular analysis shows DNMT3 mutation and an IDH1 mutation. There's no P53 mutation, which is good because that does very poorly. So we, again, because of the age and all of that, we gave him decitabine and venetoclax. So the day 28 bone marrow, which is when I usually do the first assessment, has 3% blast, so evidently showing a good response, but the patient's still pancytopenic. And again, the regimen is myelosuppressive. So actually by day 42, the white cell count still 0.8. The neutrophils are pretty low, less than 0.5. And the platelets are still 32. Hemoglobin still 8.2, still requiring transfusions. But the bone marrow still shows only 3% of blasts. So a couple of things. Number one, in terms of the mutations, even on the single agent venetoclax, there seem to be, which the responses as a single agent, by the way, are much more modest. There are some responses, and for a single agent, it's not negligible, but they're definitely lower. I would not use it as a single agent, but that's how we started. And in the single agent, patients with IDH1 or IDH2 mutations, they did have a bit of a higher response rate to the venetoclax single agent. So we'll be talking about the IDH inhibitors later, but certainly that's a population that seems to have a bit of a sensitivity to the venetoclax. So that's important. So then you give the treatment. The way we do is, well, number one, I typically use 10 days of decitabine, not 5 days of decitabine. That's for induction. Now, that makes it more myelosuppressive, of course, but on a patient that's having an aggressive leukemia and all of that, especially this patient is 68, he's not really, you know, that old. So, you know, you still want to give him an opportunity. So 10 days of decitabine, the venetoclax, we escalate the doses. If the patient is taking an azole as prophylaxis for antifungals, everybody should be taking some antifungal prophylaxis. If it's an azole, there is a drug-drug interaction and the plasma levels essentially double. So I stop at 200 milligrams of venetoclax. They only go to 200. So you do 50, 100, 200, one-day escalation. So 50 the first day, 100 the second day, 200 the third day, and then you continue with that. And then I would do about 3 weeks of the venetoclax and do a bone marrow. If the bone marrow is clean, if there's no blast, if there are less than 5%, if there seems to be a good response, you stop there, the venetoclax, to allow the recovery. If there's still blasts, maybe go to day 28, continue it a little bit longer. But at some point, you need to stop to allow the recovery of the counts. Now there's day 42, and the patient's still pancytopenic. So because there's only 3% blast, I'm waiting. If the patient had, let's say, 25% blast, I would be starting the second cycle now because the counts are not going to recover if there's still residual leukemia. So, you know, that means you're going to have to be looking at the bone marrow frequently. And the disease sometimes is very sensitive to those interruptions of the venetoclax. I have another patient that has an extramedullary disease, and I'm giving the same regimen, the cytarabine venetoclax. This is a younger patient, but has received a lot of prior therapy. And that extramedullary disease, which is in the bones, gives pain. And interestingly enough, she's having a good response, but she tells me, after I stop the venetoclax a week or two later, the pain starts coming back a little bit. So, you know, you have to be aggressive in these instances, particularly on these patients with more aggressive diseases.
So what's this man's current situation?
This patient has started now the second cycle. There was further recovery of the counts, so I started the second cycle. It's in the middle of the cycle, so we'll have to wait and see. Now, this is a patient that is 68, is in good shape, but this is a secondary leukemia. My plan is to transplant this patient. We're not in a situation where we can say this is all this patient needs and he'll be fine for a long time. This is a secondary leukemia and has -7, no P53, but the prognosis is poor. So fortunately, you do have a response. I think that you could start thinking about a transplant anytime now. So my plan is once he recovers from this cycle, in the meantime, they're working up finding the donors and all of that. As soon as a donor is available, I'll get him to transplant. If it's after the recovery of this cycle, fine. If not, you know, as soon as they recover.